Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC, and now we continue our May series called Legal Weed. Every week this month, we're hearing from Mark Kleiman, who is advising Washington State on their legalization process after voters made that decision in a November referendum. And we're talking about different considerations each week, the economics of pot, the science behind the drug, public opinion. And today we'll talk about addiction and get into some other health effects of marijuana. Mark Kleiman is also professor of public policy at the UCLA School of Public Affairs and co-author of Marijuana Legalization. He wrote the book, What Everyone Needs to Know. Hi, Mark. Welcome back.
Brian, always a pleasure.
And with us also this week is WNYC's own Marianne McCune. You've been hearing her reporting as part of the newsroom series, The Weed Next Door on WNYC, which is about how these legalization efforts in other states are affecting things here. Her piece on addiction will debut this afternoon on All Things Considered. Hey, Marianne.
Howdy.
So, Mark Kleiman, there are listeners who might hear the phrase cannabis addiction and think, no, there's no such thing. Marijuana is not addictive. You and I have talked about this once before, but briefly, you would say marijuana is addictive, right?
I'm not even sure addictive is a useful word anymore because it has such emotional punch. But marijuana, like other drugs, can form a very powerful bad habit that people wish they didn't have and find it hard to break. So if that's addiction, yes, the risk of addiction is smaller than for alcohol, somewhat, much smaller than for cigarettes. But it's there, and a lot of people go through it.
So, Marianne, you profiled one kid, Jake, for your piece, along with his family, who dealt with his cannabis addiction. We have a clip of Jake from your piece describing what happened to him. Let's listen.
I have this thing about me, and I think, you know, it's this predisposition to, like, be addictive.
And teenagers are more susceptible to addiction than adults.
If I was never exposed to marijuana, I would have been able to hold off my addictive tendencies a lot longer. I think marijuana expedited my addictive personality.
So, Marianne, what did they mean in that family by addiction? And how typical do you think Jake's story is of a certain group of people out there?
Okay, I'll go with how typical first. I mean, if you look at the statistics that the National Institute on Drug Abuse puts out there, and these are from studies, they say that one out of six teenagers who use marijuana will become addicted. And for adults, it's one out of 10. Now, I think it's very hard to figure out, as Mark was saying, addiction is a term that means a lot of different things to a lot of people. And it's hard to know exactly, if you agree with the one out of six statistic, what kind of addiction, how intense. You know, for Jake, it started out with marijuana. And one of the things that I found most compelling about his and his family's story was that it went on with marijuana, and he and his parents were arguing about it for a long time before they could really figure out that he was addicted. So it was something that they felt was harder to recognize. Though he was using every day, he would say, I'm still functioning, everything's fine. He was getting great grades. He was still playing soccer very successfully, doing all these things that make people say he's okay. And mm-hmm. even some of they took him to a therapist, a pediatrician, and even those people would say, look, you know, it's what kids do these days, and he's doing okay.
But then what? He was doing okay until he wasn't?
Until he wasn't, and he did eventually start to try out other drugs as well. I mean, the way they see it, he got addicted first to marijuana, but he and his family both, they all say that he was, quote-unquote, wired for addiction, which is something that people don't fully understand yet. You know, there's a lot of research about it, but whether that's something that is physical, it's your brain, or it's coming from things happening in your life, it's a big debate, and there's not as much known as people act like there is.
And listeners, we have a few minutes for your calls on cannabis addiction. Do you or a loved one have experience with this problem, and how does that make you think about legalization? 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-4255. 9692. Mark, in Washington State, are they gearing up for more addiction problems because of legalization?
Certainly there are people worried about it, thinking about it. Washington's a strange situation because the medical marijuana system in Washington State is so wide open that at least in the western part of the state, the Seattle area, it's not clear that full legalization is going to increase availability. Hmm. And, of course, legalization in Washington State doesn't apply to minors. Right? There's no sales to people under 21. So that whole segment of the market remains illicit. The question is whether increased access for adults will lead to increased access for kids. The current pattern where parents go to their kids to find pot.
And Mark, we've talked about this before, but can you talk about what increased access in California or legalization in California has done to use patterns there?
Nobody knows. It's come on slowly, and the appropriate studies have not been done. There certainly isn't a gross upswing. We're not seeing kids flocking to the treatment centers. But that's not to say there's not an impact, and it's probably slow. So the real explosion comes about 3 years ago, and I think it's too early to say what the consequences are.
Let's take a phone call. Nick in Manhattan, you're on WNYC. Hi, Nick.
Hi, how are you?
Okay.
I'm not particularly anti-legalization or anything like that, but really what I wanted to say is I have a close family member who was, you know, has a predisposition to mental illness, and, you know, was smoking a lot of marijuana in high school and then in college, and it actually was a contributing factor to becoming schizophrenic. So it brought on quite severe psychosis, and then during treatment and dealing with, you know, doctors and inpatient treatment, it was always cited as a contributing factor. Mm-hmm. In perhaps he would have become schizophrenic anyway, but it exacerbated it and accelerated that process.
Nick, thank you. Mark, is there medical evidence for that relationship that you know of?
There's quite a lot of literature on this. Very hard to tell to what extent people who are predisposed to schizophrenia find that they like cannabis.
It's very hard to tease out what's causing versus what's correlated.
William in Manhattan, you're on WN. Go ahead, Mark. Finish your point. Go ahead.
I think it's very clear that people with a family history of schizophrenia or have had some schizophrenic symptoms should stay away from weed.
William in Manhattan, hi.
Hi. Back in the 60s and 70s, I experimented with all kinds of drugs and marijuana. And oddly enough, the only one that gave me a real problem was marijuana. And that was from, I'd say, a psychological or emotional point of view rather than a physical addiction. But that every time you got in a situation where you felt uptight or whatever, you ran to marijuana, and it would calm you down, make you feel better, and quote-unquote solve your problem. And after a long period of time of doing that, I finally realized that I have a psychological addiction to it, and I had to actually pull myself away from it for a long time. Now I'm a casual user and won't let myself get to that point. I still think it should be legalized, but nevertheless, I do think mm-hmm. that there are strong psychological addictions to it if you get to carry away with it.
William, thank you for your story. Marianne?
And I think that researchers are moving away from making a big difference between psychological and physical addiction. I can't talk too extensively about that, but I will say, you know, from my reporting, I understand there actually is some physical addiction with marijuana. It's not like the withdrawal symptoms are terrible, or, you know, you're shaking in your bed for 3 days when you stop using it. But there are, you know, there are things that marijuana does to your brain, and when you don't get that thing anymore, that you do experience withdrawal and you want to do it again intensely. And that's something that a lot of people don't know about marijuana.
So, Mark, are we talking about the difference between addiction and dependence? Are those useful terms?
I'm not sure how much of this is useful as opposed to saying that that drugs, like other pleasurable activities, can cause bad habits.
Yeah.
I mean, certainly there are some drugs, alcohol, barbiturates, heroin, the benzos, where there's a very strong physical reaction to cessation that can actually be life-threatening. That's not true for cannabis. It's not true for the stimulants. But that doesn't mean that having a bad habit isn't still a very bad problem.
Mary Ann McCune, WNYC reporter, who has a piece on marijuana addiction that will debut in full this afternoon on All Things Considered, and Mark Kleiman with us from UCLA's School of Public Affairs, co-author of the book Marijuana Legalization, and he's a consultant to Washington State as they implement legal marijuana after the referendum put that into place in that state in November. Mark, there are other health effects of smoking marijuana aside from addiction. Even if a person like Jake from Mary Ann's piece is high-functioning much of the time and playing sports and taking tests, there are some other health effects that come up in conversation. Are there ones that you would put on the table most of all? I know one thing that people will say, well, it's still smoking, so what about respiratory effects?
There are certainly some respiratory effects for those who smoke. Not lung cancer, it turns out, but you know, the whole rest of the bronchitis and so on.
Would that just depend on
for people who also smoked
on
cigarettes?
On how much? Because you know, people will say, "Well, if I smoke a few joints a day, that's still not like smoking all the." I mean, even a few joints a day, which would be very heavy use, that's not the same intake of smoke that a regular cigarette smoker would be taking in.
Right, depending on the smoking pattern, cannabis users sometimes hold it longer in the lungs and so on. But yeah, I mean, the multiple joint a day smoker is certainly doing some damage to the upper respiratory system. Not, I think, very dramatic.
Memory
again,
loss,
unless combined with with tobacco. On the other hand, the one of the consequences of the increasing legal availability and social acceptability is a movement away from smoking toward various forms of vaporization, which aren't particularly damaging to the lung, or to ingestion rather than inhalation, which runs its own risks, but certainly isn't a respiratory problem. I think smoking, literally burning the plant material, is going to be completely out of fashion 20 years from now for both cannabis and the nicotine.
Huh. Your book refers to memory loss as a potential issue, yes?
Certainly short term. I mean, one of the ways that cannabis has its pleasurable effect is it interferes with memory. There's not much evidence of lasting effects. But clearly people who are currently intoxicated don't have the working memory they would have if they were sober, and people who are intoxicated a lot of the time may run into problems with that.
And I saw a report that marijuana use can increase blood pressure, and that older people who use marijuana are at risk of, you know, heart events as a result of that. Is that something you know of?
You're way ahead of me.
Okay, I just heard this report that there was one study, and so this is not something.
I've spoken to a researcher at Columbia who says that's an area that needs a lot more study. That's the type of thing that people need to look at. And
But we should be aware of Peter Reuter and Rob McCune report, which is there's an effective rule in drug abuse research that any report of damage is regarded as valid, and any report of benefit is regarded as invalid. And the best estimate of damage is always the most extreme. So we need to take all of these studies with a little bit of skepticism.
A little bit of...
Because your chance of getting your next study funded are much greater if you report damage.
A little bit of sodium with our weed. WNYC's
exactly.
Mary Ann McCune. Her report debuts on All Things Considered today about marijuana addiction. And Mark Kleiman, we'll talk to you again next Thursday as we continue our series on legal marijuana. This time we'll talk about the science of marijuana next Thursday. Thanks a lot.
Thanks.
Thanks, Brian. Take care, Mary Ann.
Take care.